joke. We're having some fun on a Tuesday. And with you till 2 o'clock. Appreciate you guys being here with us. Couple ways to join the show. You can always text us at 303-713-1043. Ask us questions, comment on what we're chatting about there, or watch the show, and then the same rules over in the chat room on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom if you got to consume us that way, or the app available for your smartphones. A ton of ways that you can join us. We're talking a little bit about the Avalanche and a tough loss last night where they nearly doubled up the shots of the Columbus Blue Jackets, but only was able to get past the goaltender once. Was it Torosov? They certainly couldn't Torosov him last night, Stoke. A bad one. I worked on that one on the plane yesterday. It was a bad one. I told Drew this morning, I'm like, I watched the game on the plane, and there were moments where I'm like, all right, either the Avalanche are stuck in mud. This isn't a regulation sheet of ice. It was just clunky. The spacing wasn't good. The chemistry wasn't good. They were whiffing on opportunities in front of the net. They just did not look like themselves yesterday. And that, you can probably put that sentence, attach that line to three out of the last four games, four out of their last five games. And Stoke, I don't think it's a coincidence that all of those games are without Big Val Nichushkin. That dude is missing right now. He's skating in Denver and might join them later. But as we said last week, like he's the straw that stirs the drink. And Nathan is the good stuff inside of it. But without Val, I'm telling you right now, this team is a one and done in the postseason.
Well, I settle down a little bit. Goodness gracious. You went from 0 to 100 like that. I mean, I think we still got some pretty good guys. Can they win it all without Val? Probably not. But I'm not saying they're one and done.
That's how important I think Val is.
I think he's important too. But I also think that they could get out of the first round without him. I don't think they can win it all. And you're right. Look, he's a valuable member. I mean, he does it all. You know, he's the grinder. He can score, play both ends. So obviously, we saw the time that he was out. They didn't look quite the same. He comes back. You know, they're playing a really good puck, and then he's gone again. Not so good a puck. So hopefully we can get him back here pretty soon and get him ready to go for the playoffs. I mean, I'm more so with the Avs, I think, than the Nuggets. I'm just like, I'm ready to fast forward towards the playoffs.
Okay.
For me, the Nuggets, I mean, because the Jamal question and I'm trying to get that number one seed because I do think it's important. Or at the bare minimum, I want to be ahead of Minnesota because they scare me the most out of anybody in the West. So I'm still grinding the regular season a little bit there with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. But with the Avs, I'm like, all right, let's get healthy and fast forward to the playoffs.
Okay. Man, I think a lot of fans, when we asked the question earlier, a lot of people did respond on the text line of like the number one seed is still important to them, even maybe risking some of the guys playing down the stretch. When it comes to the Avalanche, yeah, you still have Nathan MacKinnon, so you can't write them off.
But you were writing them off. You said they were done. You're one and done.
But
they're
done
without Val. I mean, like, do they have a guy named Kale? Kale, Cale.
Yeah, they do.
They have him.
Mm-hmm.
How about Miko?
They do have Miko. The Moose can get loose from time to time.
MacKinnon, Kale.
He's pretty good.
Rantanen, I'm like, all right, I mean, I'm not ready to say they can't get out of the first round without Val. He's important, but man.
You know what it looks like, though, without Val? It looks like that team that was dragging Ryan Johansson across the blue line with him. It looks like a Nathan MacKinnon and a Cale Makar. Miko not as much, plays a little bit of a different role, but it looks like they are so concerned that the other guys on the team can't provide what they need them to provide. And it's going, now Nathan has to elevate this much. Now Cale has to not only do this, but also pick up on the back end over here. And that's what they've looked like without the four. Now, when Val's on the ice, you get a little bit more of that of, all right, I know what 13's going to be doing. I can trust the heck out of that guy.
Yeah, and it's hard to give you a lot of pushback there, unfortunately. I think we'd both feel a lot better if he gets back out on the ice and is ready to go and is healthy. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, a tough guy that will play through a lot. We saw that when they won the cup with his ankle or leg, foot. It looked awful. So, if he can be out there, you know he's going to be out there, and he is a very valuable member of that team.
Was it Val? Am I misremembering here? His ankle was so bad they, like, dragged him on a cart? like to go party with his, like after the game they had won, but he didn't want to walk to where the celebration was, so they put him on one of those carts that like you transport cases of water in.
Yeah.
And just dragged him to the place.
They dragged him.
Or, you know, they're just dragging the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's laying down on it with his ankle exposed and some ice on it.
I remember he we saw pictures of his foot, ankle, and it looked awful. So that I don't remember if that was him, though, or not, but probably was.
Yeah. Who's tougher, football players or hockey players? And why is the answer hockey players?
Yeah, I would probably say hockey players. It's just those pucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say hockey player.
Yeah. I thought Cale took one in the face yesterday. It ended up being a high stick, but he went down, threw his stick up in the air, the same thing. I'm like, one hockey puck in the face for me as a young man, and I'm like, hey, I'm done with this sport completely.
Yeah, I can't feel good.
No.
I saw one the other day where it hit the lower leg area, a slap shot, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's got to hurt.
Yeah. This guy gets it, this texter from the 819. Mac may be the MVP of the league, but Choo Choo is the MVP of the Avs.
Choo Choo.
The Choo Choo train.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to argue that.
Right.
He's a very valuable member of the team. So I'd want to see him out there. They need him out there if they're going to try to win it all. And that's ultimately, I think, we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to win it all, which they are, they're not trying to just get out of the first round or the second round. They're trying to win it all. They need a healthy Val.
They need a healthy Val. Avs fans, how you feeling about it? You're worried about these Avalanche, or as we hinted at earlier, is this just get to the playoffs and let's play some postseason hockey. Let's play some postseason hoop with the Nuggets and the Avalanche. The Ball Arena Bros both clinched. Now, what are we going to expect from them when round one actually starts? All right, Stoke, there is a rule in the NFL CBA that actually allows college players to decline to play for teams that drafted them. They can do it 2 years in a row and then become a free agent. There are some caveats to this that could cost the player some money. But could we see Shedeur Sanders make history and be the first player to do this? Details next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Mentioned the CBA and a rule that I found reading something on Pro Football Talk that I immediately thought about Shedeur Sanders, and that would be a play that he could make. Going to give you all the details on that. First, let me tell you about what's going down Friday for our home opener.
Oh.
Going to be a party live from the rooftop at El
what
Patio.
What home opener? What
the
home
Colorado Rockies home opener. Friday afternoon where it's supposed to be like 72 degrees or something like that.
You can't beat that.
Going to be nice.
It's going to be popping.
And we'll be right there at El Patio, right across from Coors Field. We'll walk you up to first pitch, and the drive will keep the party going until 6 p.m. We'll be giving away a special prize. I know what this prize is, Stoke, and it is awesome. But it's before the game, and you have to be present with us at El Patio to win. So make sure you come by, find us up on the rooftop, and ask somebody how you can win that special prize. We'll tell you, and it's possibly going to be you. So come and kick it with us if you're going to be downtown for opening day on the Rockies game this Friday. All right, this story in the Pro Football Talk about the CBA. We had wondered this before, Stoke, about Shedeur, because what did Deion say? He's going to pull an Eli. He's going to pick where he wants to play, and he doesn't want to do cold weather cities. So I thought, all right, is that a real possibility? Shedeur just says, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to go there.
Right.
And it is a real possibility. In fact, the CBA states that a player can decline to play for the team that he was drafted for in two consecutive drafts. So Shedeur can say, nope, not going this year, and then sit out and become eligible for the 2026 NFL draft.
Okay.
He could then decline that team as well.
All right.
Then in the 2027 season, he is a free agent. He is an undrafted free agent. Now there comes some not as big money deals in your first deal as an undrafted free agent. There are terms that the NFL has for what those guys can make.
You still would be a part of the rookie pool.
You would.
So they would have to take whatever money they get. So say you decided to sign with them, whatever money they get, you would have to take out of that money.
Yes.
So it's not like you're unrestricted free agent, a regular free agent just going into the market and like to the highest bidder. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different there.
Okay. And it's, yeah, so a little bit different on the money front. But with this as being an undrafted free agent, in his first deal, he could start to renegotiate and work on an extension in year two rather than year three. So you're betting on yourself in a big way.
Yeah.
But if you are a believer, and we certainly know Shador is, then you're going, hey, all right, I'll show you for another couple years, and then I'm going to really, really use my leverage and get a whole bunch of money. So, like I said, when I read this article and said, all right, there's a path here that lets Shador pick his team, but he misses 2 years of football doing so. If anybody in the history of the NFL and the college game is in a position to do this, it's Shador freaking Sanders.
That's a bad move. Bad plan.
Tell me why.
You're going to sit out 2 years of football?
I get that.
Like, is he that good? I mean, really? You that good? You got to show me then.
Yeah.
You got to show me more than 4 or 5 games in a college season. You played CU 1 year. Every year you were at Jackson State. That's not, at this level. So you got to, if you want to pull that card, you're going to have to play much better this year, much more consistent. Got to clean up a lot. So I don't, I just think that's a bad move all the way around. And then what is it going to look like if you sit out for 2 years? 2 years? Like, do you want to play ball or not? I get it. But to sit out, like, if you want to try to force someone to trade you or trade your rights, okay. But to sit out 2 years of college, to sit out 2 years of football, that's an awful decision. Awful. And now all of a sudden, you're right. You can sign a new contract after 2 years where normally it's 3 years, mm-hmm. but you just missed 2 years of not playing.
Yeah.
So, like, could you afford to do it? Yeah, you could afford to do it. But I think at a certain point, teams are like, how bad do you even want to play football?
I get that
right?
part of it, yeah.
They question your mindset of, are you a competitor? Do you want to play? And so I don't think that's a move from him. I don't. I think maybe what you try to do is go to a team that it's a possibility to go to and that you would rather go to than a certain team if that comes down to it. But you don't sit out 2 years. I think that's a huge mistake.
Okay. And look, I understand that completely. I get where you're coming from. But I also think this is a whole new world of young men and women playing in college athletics where it's always been about the love. That's why you play. It's why you fight through injuries. It's why you rehab and you try to return to the form you were before the injury. But it's different now. And it's more of a business than it ever has been publicly. Now, pull the curtain back. Sports is all about business. Money's first and winning is actually second. But if you win, you get money. So I think that there is a different way to look at this, though, because I'm more of cut from the same cloth that you are. I look at it the same way. You're going to miss football for 2 years? Yeah, good luck finding another team that will take you. But I just look at Shador Sanders, and he's a different cat. This is about the business of football more than it is about football. And I think he's got a freaking master's degree in that because of who his father is. Now, I'm not calling for him to do this. I'm just telling you, here's a possibility. And there's a play for Shador to actually pick his team. And like you said, the dude's making $5 million bucks last year. That's probably got a raise up this year. He's not hurting for any money. The star power is still going to be there. He could still do something around football, just not play it. I think that the way this world is going and guys like Shador Sanders that care more, at least for me, about the business of football than football, this is going to happen at some point. Maybe not Shador, but it'll happen.
I disagree with you on the fact that someone's going to sit out 2 years. Maybe a year. 2 years, to me, that's a lifetime, man. And you're not playing football at all? Goodness. That's especially if you're a high pick. I get it. Look, you can make NIL, and that's good money. But, man, NFL money's better.
It is.
NFL money's right. better, right? So all of a sudden, you play that game, and next thing you know, look, you're old news, buddy. It's every year. Guys are coming up. Guys are happy to go and make that money in the NFL. And so I understand it's different rules now, it's different mindset now, which is good. Fine. But, like, if you sit out 2 years, to me, that's just signaling, you really don't want to play ball. And then what do you look like? How are you going to draft a guy high after a guy sits out for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the tape? What do you look like? I mean, that's a lifetime in football, man. So I just think that's a huge risk for someone to take. And then what? So you sit out 2 years, you get to be a free agent. What does the landscape look like then? Things are changing so much that, like, if you're a first-round pick and you got a chance to go out there and make good money, I think the best play here for someone, not even just talking about Shador, just in general, the best play is, you know what, you do a John Elway, you do a Eli Manning, and just try to go to a certain team or organization that you would prefer to go to over the one that drafted you. But to sit out 2 years, I think, to me, is a career killer.
Okay. And look, I understand where you're coming from, but you're going to know this better than me, but my experiences, Stoke, and getting to know guys like you, there are people that love the game, and you're one of those guys. Like, I love football. I just got lucky to make a career out of it. But you can't look me in the eyes and tell me that there aren't guys that go, no, that's just my job.
Oh, there's a lot of those guys.
I don't care that much about it. I just do it because it pays really dang well.
Oh, there's a lot of those guys. For sure.
And I think that number is, with what NIL is and what kids are learning about this stuff in real time, I think that number is going to go up here.
But that just costs you money sitting out 2 years. What are you going to do? You're not making NIL. You're not playing college.
Well, Shador's going to be on a Wendy's commercial, doing Affleck stuff with his dad.
I think at a certain point, like, it's like, okay, wait, who's that guy?
Like the shine wore off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you're not in the spotlight. There's a new Shador.
Yeah.
There's a new Travis Hunter. I mean, this is what happens all the time, guys. I mean, you know, Caleb Williams. Oh, there's going to be a new one of him coming up here. I mean, there just is. So I think, it's about the business. It's about, you know, your brand. It's about, you know, going out and making money.
Mm-hmm.
You sit out 2 years, you ain't making the money you were making. Now, could a guy like Shador make some good money off the field when he's not playing? Sure, because of his dad. But eventually, that's going to wear off. Like, your money... And that's nothing compared to a $20 million NFL contract if you're picked in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to turn that down? I would think that would be a huge mistake if you went about it in that way and decide to sit out 2 years.
All right.
Force their hand, go to another team possibly. But, you know, you're not playing for 2 years, I think, it could be a career killer.
I guess, too, if Shador does ball out this year, you pick him wherever you want and then – You trade him if you have to. You're not going to play. Get something from him. You know what I mean? Along those lines.
Exactly.
But, it's just that's a play. Like I said, found it last night. There is a rule out there that would allow a guy to pick, but he would absolutely have to miss those two games. He also got a new Cybertruck. You see that?
I saw that.
He's the first person in Colorado to be given a Cybertruck, and it's up there on the campus of Boulder with Shador behind the wheel.
Yeah, that was quite the scene. I also saw someone showed me a Instagram post. And it's a bad look for him. I can't lie. It's a bad look.
The Cybertruck?
No, not the Cybertruck. He's on the tarmac with a private jet next to him and Louis luggage.
Yeah.
And it says something like staying on the grind or work never stops. And he's throwing a football to I don't even know who and taking some drops.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's just that, like.
He rust us.
Yeah.
We got rust by Shador.
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
It's a bad look. You got to watch. I want to get your reaction. You got to look it up.
Okay.
It's just an awful look.
I haven't seen this.
Like, come on, man. Have more awareness than that. It's a bad, bad look to do that. If you want to show me on the practice field,
yeah,
grinding away.
Right.
You're on concrete next to a private plane with Louis luggage next to you.
Ooh.
Trying to say you're putting in the work. Uh-uh.
Oh.
That's a bad look, buddy.
Read the room, my man.
Come on, man.
Yeah, we got rust by Shador?
Yes.
I'm upset, dude.
Well, I want to get your reaction. You need to watch
all right,
it. Okay.
I'll watch that
see
up.
What it looks like, and I might be overreacting.
Oh, I am upset. I'll watch it.
Okay.
We'll come back and give you some reaction to how we feel about Shador rusting us. That's next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
We used to taste that Ted and Uber freight. Couple of kids in a Chevrolet. Catch a little air when we cross the tracks. Sipping on something from a paper stack.
All right, let's go.
Hang your shirt on
a
maple limb. Slipping through the moon to the river bend. Wasn't very long,
right.
I was jumping in.
Trying to find this Shador video.
I guess
here we go.
Still doing that.
The grind don't stop. Oh, no, dude. The grind don't stop, and you're right. He's got the Louis luggage. He's got his... Is that his own logo, the money? He's got that money sign on a bunch of stuff.
If it's not, it's probably, you know, $500 for a cutoff shirt and $750 for the shorts.
Yeah, before Shador Sanders putting in work before catching a flight, photo credit to Deion Sanders. Like, do you wonder, does dad make him do this? tell him, hey, let's do a quick video of you throwing out here on the tarmac, or the tarmac, is that what it's called? Yeah. I've never taken a plane like that where you walk up to it. Like,
yeah, look, I've been a passenger on them before. I don't know. I just think the overall, and you know, Shador.
I don't like it.
Shador putting out a video of the grind, don't stop, and he's next to a private plane with the Louis luggage. I just, like his dad. I mean, if I was Dean, I'd be like, nah, that's it's a bad look to me. Well, you know, because like what kind of work are you actually getting done? Throwing a 10-yard pass on concrete while you're sitting, you know, on the tarmac. It's all for show.
It goes back to you're right. It's all for show. It's what this is of, you know, like when you had downtime as an NFL player and you went somewhere awesome that had a beach and you threw a football around with your buddies, you didn't video that and then put it out as work or the grind. But that's now, unfortunately, what all this is. Like, he's on vacation. They're going somewhere awesome, I'm assuming, on a private jet with all this Louis luggage. That's just, again, it's so forced and fake. That's exactly right. What it is. Like I said, it's Russ. We got Russ by Shador Sanders. And that hurts.
That hurts.
Hurts a lot.
That's painful.
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, whatever Russ did, don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that. If you want to do videos of you working out in the CU weight room, you want to do videos of you throwing to Travis Hunter, and that's cool. The video of you throwing next to a private plane with Louis luggage, it's just, to me, it's a head scratcher. It's like, come on, man. Come on. No, don't do that. Don't. Like, are you losing your perspective here? Right?
Yeah.
And if you think that's grinding, it's not, buddy.
No.
It's not grinding when you're about to jump on a private plane and you're throwing 10-yard passes. That's not accomplishing anything. Mm-mm. It's all for show. And is that what this is all about? Because that ain't grinding, I can promise you.
No, not at all. There are a lot of texts on the RamosLaw.com text line about the overhype. Shador Sanders, his dad has created kind of this monster as far as a first-round pick and going to have the leverage or luxury to pick who you get played for. A lot of texters, handfuls, when we had that conversation that this is something that Deion has created more than that Shador has arrived to.
Well, you know, obviously that's part of it. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what it looks like this year. I mean, Deion's orchestrated this whole thing.
Yeah, yes.
You know, he's got Pat Shurmur here. He hired him. For Shador, pro style, offense. His style didn't fit with the offensive coordinator last year. And they moved on. And now they're going with an NFL offensive coordinator. Deion's told us that, you know, he should be the number one pick. And Deion has told us, you know, all of these different things. So it'll be interesting. You got to go out there and do it on the football field.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's... you know, can you do that? But you got to be consistent. You know, a lot more consistent than what we saw last year. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like this year. And I think that's a question for me. Is that the right approach? If I'm in that situation and it's my son, I'm trying to downplay it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, look, man, they're out there. And Deion doesn't care, I get it, but they're out there, and they're going to be out there. They're waiting for first opportunity for failure here.
Yep.
And if it doesn't look good early, guess what? It's like, well, hell, he wasn't doing bleep this offseason, but going to fashion shows in Europe and, you know, taking private flights here, private flights there, worrying about his new car. He wasn't on the grind.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen here, folks. Mm-hmm. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope he goes out there and balls out and is great. Perfect. That would be awesome. But, man, I just don't know. I don't like the optics of it. I don't like any of that because – and I couldn't even imagine being in that situation.
If you're
– $5 million, you know, going to make, you know, $5-6 million this year. I mean, like that, as a college kid, that's got to be a difficult thing. You know, are you grinding like you were 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. That would be my question. I hope he is.
It does raise some concerns. And seriously, we're having some fun with it, but it's not a good look. by anyways. We got some 970 now. This is the 970 texter.
Shout out Fort Collins. That's my spot.
That's your spot, yeah. Right. They said, well, wasn't it a bad look with his, remember the Rolex, the flashing of the Rolex, or how about the fashion show a few days before a game? They're talking about him talking about going to a private school. I don't think that's a big deal. He went to a private school. His parents had more money than us. That's fine. And then said, Josh, don't make it sound like all college football players are doing this stupid bleep like this. A lot of them make goofy videos, but these kids are out of touch. Calls them weirdos and soft. Talking about the Sanders brothers. I don't know that I'd go all that part. Like, the private school is whatever. This part is really out of touch. I really hated the merch thing in the middle of the Stanford game when they were winning and then lost.
Yeah.
Which, again, added on to the losing streak. Those are really bad looks for Shador.
The Rolly thing, you know, holding up the watch, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was like, that's just swag. That was fun. I mean, you were winning, and obviously there was other teams that started giving it back to them, and they were good sports about it.
Yeah, and you have to expect that.
Exactly. So that was all just fun, like college kids having fun. I mean, and I thought that was really, really cool. So I'm a fan of his. I'm not going to knock him just to knock him. I didn't mind that at all, mm-hmm. at all. I don't mind the cyber truck or whatever. Perfect. But that's my question is, what does the work ethic look like now compared to 3 years ago? I mean, like, because this isn't the end all be all here now. You want to go to the NFL.
Right.
So the standard, the bar is high here. They're not going to draft you because your last name is Sanders.
Yeah.
They're not going to draft you fifth overall. I can promise you that. So you got to go out there on the field where it doesn't matter how much NIL you make. All you're doing is having more of a target on your back. That's it. And we saw that last year. Like, everybody wanted to beat CU. Everybody wanted to knock Shador down and take a shot at him. Because of everything, all the other stuff. And that's just part of it. So hopefully everything is cool. And, you know, we don't look back here and say, ooh, he says he was on the grind, but
sure
about to jump
like
on that private. I don't know about how much grinding he was doing there. But we'll see.
I wonder, too, and like, I always wondered this with Russ, of like, if I'm a teammate of Russ and I feel like I know him well enough to say something, I would be like, hey, man. Can you dial it back on the social media stuff for a little while? Let's maybe figure out who we are. I don't know that anybody can say that to Shador right now with what he is as Deion's kid and the starting quarterback of the team, but I would imagine, again, maybe if he's able to read the room, you're not doing that nonsense as a rookie.
I don't know.
Nobody would check him, or not check him, but be like, hey, young fella, come over here real quick. Let's have a chat.
Possibly, but maybe not, you know. So, because it depends on what kind of locker room you're in, you know. And I think a lot of it just depends on, are you putting in the necessary work? Are you really grinding?
Yeah.
But it's like no, you're not grinding, dude. That's not grinding. The grind doesn't stop. No, you're on the tarmac with a private plane, throwing 10-yard passes. That's not grinding. I can promise you. So, like, do you really think that's grinding?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can promise you, it's not.
Yeah.
Not if you want to play at the next level. That's not grinding. So don't even put that out there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a bad look. I don't know. I don't know if someone would or not. But it just depends on, is he out there grinding or not?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He might be working his ass off and then just kind of threw that in there for the fun of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he's a 21-year-old kid that has $10 million.
Yeah.
You know, right? I could kind of see a little bit of that.
Right.
But it did rub me the wrong way. Did not like it by any means.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look because that's not accurate. Show me grinding in the weight room or on the practice field with you know, Travis Hunter out there and the rest of the receivers and the running backs. Don't say you're grinding next to a private plane, because that's not grinding, my man.
You're not grinding. One texter said, Rust by Shador Sanders. It sounds like a new clone he would launch.
Oh, gosh.
To make some money.
I would say whatever you see Rust doing, you know, you want to stay away from that.
Yeah, and don't do that.
You saw what happened in Seattle.
Right.
And it was fine for a while. But then Russ, you know, took on a whole nother persona.
Mm-hmm.
And it became about Russ. And you saw all of his teammates and how they came out and they viewed it once he left.
Am I the only one rapping the 8 Mile thing? He went to Grandview. That's a private school. Clarence's parents have a real nice marriage.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't, Kev?
No.
I got nothing but shaking. Private school. Like, that was... you know, Papa Doc was like the lead tough guy gangster in 8 Mile. But he went to a private school, and his parents are still married, and like he's just putting on a front.
My kid went to a private school, so.
Well, yeah, but he's not out here. He's not out here trying to win rap battles.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't go to a private school.
Well, I'll save my comment.
Yeah.
But you know what? If Cameron's interested in maybe rapping, we can probably get him a tutor or something.
He's not. No, no rapping for him.
All right, quick timeout. Former Nuggets coach George Karl, he had his fair share of beef with former Nuggets star Carmelo Anthony, but is it now all coming to an end, or did we get pranked by George? Details next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
A lot of you still reacting to some of our Shador conversation. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. Watch the show and react over on Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. But I want to talk about an April Fool's prank, possibly. Or perhaps it's real. But our old buddy George Karl, well, we know it's no secret that he and Carmelo Anthony, they're not the best of buds. I don't think they exchanged happy Easter texts yesterday.
Probably
or
not.
Sunday, whenever Easter was. So George takes to Twitter. He's at Coach Karl 22. He's a fun follow. Go check him out. He obviously, his basketball mind is brilliant. And he shares a picture of a young Carmelo Anthony and a very young Josh Kroenke. And he says, good news. Josh, Melo, and I have spoken, and we will be getting together this month to hash things out. It's been long enough. And it's time to move forward. More soon, two thumbs up emojis.
Oh,
nice, right?
Reunited.
They're all going to just end the drama.
Okay.
Because it's Melo been going on his podcast and his friend's podcast to promote his own podcast and kind of taking some shots at the Nuggets. You know, they gave Joker 15 to try to erase my memory and the not wanting him back and the kind of conversations that they're had. And then George goes, oh, that's not true. You're lying. You're lying. You're lying. Kind of calling Carmelo out almost to everything that he said. And then they had, you know, shared a couple of barbs on the old Twitter machine. So that's what he shared yesterday. But Stoke, yesterday was April 1st.
Yeah.
Yesterday was April Fool's Day. And there still are some folks that participate in April Fool's Day.
There is. You know, Von Miller did it every year about retiring. Yeah. It's just like,
it was so funny.
Just stop. Like,
I couldn't
stop.
I might not be able to contain my laughter now thinking of some of his great tweets.
Yeah. So they're out there. My youngest got me yesterday. He did get me.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, early morning.
Yes.
Early morning, acting like he was sick.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, haha, chuckle, chuckle, get to school.
That's good.
And I tried to get him late night last night. Mm-hmm. He didn't fall for it. I did.
He's a smart kid.
Yeah, he didn't fall because I'm like, I'm going to wait till late night. Maybe he'll forget. And didn't work. This is interesting. This has got to be an April Fool's. This right?
So
he has he said anything after it to, you know, any kind of retweet here? Any kind of tweet after? What do we got?
So he did take to his Twitter. Now, he waited for a full 24 hours and let this kind of linger and all of us wonder. And Drew sent it to us, and I'm like, oh, this is great. It's great for Nuggets basketball. You bring Carmelo back. And I know it's a sour taste, but he kind of got this ball rolling. And George then tweeted, it was an April Fool's, but wouldn't it be pretty cool? Go Nuggets.
Oh, that was a good one, though. A lot of these are really bad.
Yeah.
I give it to George. That was a good one.
Oh, Kevin sent it. Sorry.
Kevin sent it.
Yes.
I
fell for it originally. I'm like, great. I love this. Let's get Carmelo back in our lives.
Yeah. I didn't see it till it was too late.
Mm.
So I didn't have a time to react to it until after I already saw that it was probably an April Fool's joke. That would be cool, I guess, to get them all back. I mean, like, so what is, so obviously George and Carmelo don't get along.
They do not.
George and the Nuggets organization, do they get along? Good, bad, no, terrible? Like, what is that
It's not great. Not great.
Because he did say Josh in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, so that tells me that it's not a great relationship
Yeah,
between George and the Nuggets.
I mean, look.
Talking about Josh Kroenke, the
if I were George Karl, now, of course, there's some stuff that the organization wanted George to do, but George had just won 57 games, set a franchise record for most wins in a season, and was he the coach of the year or Masai was executive of the year, coach of the year, and then got fired. So I could understand maybe some bad taste in the mouth if you're George Karl with the Nuggets organization. Now, I think the Nuggets made the right move. Obviously, everything they've done since then has been the right move. They won a championship a year ago. They had gotten as far as they were going to get with George Karl as the head coach of the Nuggets. But if I were George, I'd certainly feel slighted. Wouldn't you? You just won coach of the year, dude.
Yeah, that tells me there's about stuff behind the scenes that we don't know of, or yeah. I don't know of. Maybe you do. And there's more to meet the eye here. Is that a saying? More to meet the eye?
Yeah,
more
that's actually the Transformers slogan.
Oh yeah,
robots in disguise, Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Yeah, there's more here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Than we know about.
Look
that
at
I
you,
know about.
Nailing it, dude.
Bam. That's what this tells me. I don't know, because why would you? What's the reason to move on from George? I mean, just like, hey, you took us as far as you could take us, and that's it. I mean, that's a risky move in that situation. What was going on behind the scenes? That would be my question.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how does you know upper management feel about George to this day? How does George really feel about the Nuggets? Does he hate him? Does he like, it's over with now?
It seems like there's still some tension on the George side. And there was some stuff behind the scenes. George, I don't want to put words in George's mouth, but I don't think he agreed with everything they had decided about roster stuff, about interim coaches while he was gone, dealing with his sickness and things like that. And I think that was all kind of a part of the buildup of you know, you're with somebody for those many years and you're like, all right, I deal with all this stuff because we're having some success. I deal with all this stuff because we're having some success. And then you win 57 games and you get beat by a 6 seed in round one. That was the disappointment part as far as the franchise looked at it. George has some other things there.
Yeah, well, you know, you always wish it would end well. Obviously, George had a great career. He's still around these parts, and I enjoy seeing him when I do. But that was a good one. That was a good April Fool's joke from him.
Nice
most
work,
most of these nowadays aren't very good. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens moving forward with Carmelo, what happens moving forward with the Nuggets, mm-hmm. between both of them.
Yeah.
You know, Carmelo and the Nuggets, George and the Nuggets. I don't know. I like a lot of people last year were saying that, hey, we ought to bring Carmelo back.
You to know, a playoff
put him,
game?
Yeah, put him courtside. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Carmelo Anthony, right? I wasn't one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Like, no, it's not about Carmelo. Like, all of a sudden, like, you want back in our life?
Right. Now that we're good?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that everything is on the up and up, where were you, you know, 5 years ago?
Right.
Now all of a sudden you show back up, huh, Dad?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Son's in the NBA.
It's like
Suns in the NFL. Like, oh, yeah. But now you want to hang. No, that's not the way it works. So that's where I was at here
like
with
that.
Carmelo. Like, no. This is about this team,
mm-hmm.
the Nuggets. It ain't about Carmelo, what he did here 20 years ago, whatever, right? It's not the time or place to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't.
And see, I was always on the other end, like, hey, let's mend this. Let's figure this out. He meant a lot to the organization. But over the last 2-3 months, the nonsense that he said and all for clout and clicks, like, I'm losing that. He's losing me in that lane.
Yes!
You know what it was, your example? It was after Bobby Boucher had the Mud Dogs come back and win the Bourbon Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And then he got married, and his dad showed up at the end, and it was like, you're going to go to the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And his mom, Goldberg speared him. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no.
God dang it.
I don't.
One of these bad weather days, I'm coming to your house, I'm locking the doors, and we're watching all the movies.
Hey, watch half of Ricky Stenicki last night.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
It's
interesting, but I've watched half of it, and so before we started, I said, hey, what's what we're going to watch tonight? I got it. Boom. I'm doing it. There's no conversation, you know, because that's 20 minutes trying to find. I said, I got the show for us. And put it before it started. She's like, "Well, who told you about it?" I said, "I'm not telling you."
Oh,
I'm not telling you.
What did she think about
it? Well, we'll see. I wanted to see what she thought about it first. So we only made it halfway through. We wanted to finish watching the UConn South Carolina game, or USC game, excuse me, last night. So we got to watch the fourth quarter. So we only made it halfway through, but she, two thumbs up. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So. You have to report back when you guys make it through.
Perfect.
The other half.
All right. To Nikki.
It's a good one. Hart Trophy, an NBA MVP could soon be coming to Colorado. Who is more of an MVP for their team, Joker or McKinnon? We're going to have a fun little rich people problem conversation coming up next.